Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray Noah continues our Christmas series, The Gift. This series is based out of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and the title for this week's message is Everlasting Father. Now here's Pastor Ray.
Well, as he left Sunday school, a boy was overheard to say to a friend, you think that stuff they told us about the devil in class is really true? All that stuff, you think it's really true? And his friend said, nah, it's kind of like Santa Claus. It's really your dad. Nice comparison, huh? Satan, Santa, and good old dad. And I hope this morning your picture of the ideal father is a tad more elevated than that. You know, this past year, I've had a lot of opportunity to think about the role of father, a lot about fatherhood. You know, on the one end of life spectrum, I have experienced the irrepressible joy of my child's child. I don't know if I told you this, but I became a grandpa this past year. So Linda became a grandma as well. And watching this little baby turn into a little boy has been just the most delightful thing. In fact, Noah, our grandson, brought down his parents last night. And they arrived at our house, and I thought a year ago, you know, he was just this little kind of puddle. And now, within an hour, the evidence of Noah is all over our house. It is awesome. It's the most wonderful thing. On the other end of life spectrum, I've come into a different kind of enjoyment, and that is the enjoyment, the privilege, the honor of helping to manage my aging father's life. You see a picture of him. This is last Christmas, Noah and Noah. Just meeting for the very first time. And, you know, this past year, because of my father's health, and he's now in his 80s, I have had the honor and the privilege of taking over managing his life, his personal life. And I have spoken more, interacted more with my dad this last year than I have, I think, in all 35 years since I've been out of the house combined. And it has been a delight for me. And I've been reminded of the special significance of a father's influence by God's design. Done well, a dad's legacy will shape the lives of his kids and his grandkids for generations to come. By God's will, by God's design, a dad is truly a gift to his family. Done poorly, generations of families will suffer the dysfunction that now characterizes much of what we're seeing in our society today. Done poorly. It has a very negative influence, even on a culture. You know, it's been said, and I think that whoever said this is right, that it takes women to civilize men. And all the women said? Yeah. It takes women to civilize men, but it takes men to civilize children. One guy said, yeah. Here's the deal. Children need the influence of a good dad in their lives for spiritual well-being, first and foremost, but not only just for spiritual well-being, but for emotional, social, relational, and even financial well-being over the course of their lives. Scripture champions that. But any modern research worth its salt bears that out as well. I mean, it's not only proven in the Bible, but all the research that I've read in the last 20 or 30 years talks about the role of a father in the health of a child as they grow up into adulthood. Every kid needs and deserves a good dad. Now, that is not a put down on moms. It's not a put down on single mothers. It's not about you. It's just simply saying that a kid, by God's design, needs a good dad. Now, listen, some of you who are single moms here are heroes to me. What you've done to step into that role, and you're doing it amazingly well. One of my heroes in this body is my former executive assistant, Ingrid, who took on raising a child that she adopted, Ja'Kai, and she's doing a great job with that. I watched her, what she had to do alone, and she truly is heroic to me. But the fact remains that every kid needs and deserves a good dad. The story is told, true story, of a father and a son from Spain who became estranged. And the estrangement was so bad that the son ran away. The father went out to find the son. He wanted to restore the relationship, and he sought week after week and even for months, but to no avail. And finally, in a last-ditch effort, this father put an ad in the newspaper, and that ad read this way. It said, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." Well, the paper reported that on that Saturday, over 800 Pacos showed up. Looking for love, forgiveness, and acceptance from their fathers. True story. In a sin-broken world that separates us not only from our heavenly Father, but from our earthly fathers as well, so many are desperately searching for the ideal dad. So many people are on a desperate search without even really knowing it, without it being at a conscious level, but subconsciously searching for a good dad in their lives. So you might say, what in the world does this have to do with Christmas? Well, one of the special gifts that God gave us in Christmas was the gift of Jesus Christ. He was in Jesus. We were given by God the gift of divine fatherhood. One of the best gifts of Christmas through Jesus from God is the gift of divine fatherhood. We've been looking at the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, where the prophet describes Jesus this way. He says, "To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor." We looked at that two weeks ago. We unpacked what that meant. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. We talked about that last week. Today, Everlasting Father. And next week, we'll look at the last one, the Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, interestingly, the prophet Isaiah gave the son the title of Father. Now, why does he do that? Well, one reason is, as our Trinitarian doctrine states, teaches us, that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three in one. Three distinct beings, yet one God. The Trinity. The Holy Trinity. Please don't ask me to explain that. But I don't think that's Isaiah's main reason for calling the Son Father. I think the more important reason is this, that Jesus the Son is the physical expression of God the Father. Colossians 1:15 says he's the image of the invisible God. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says he is God's exact likeness, the radiance of his glory, the radiance of God's being. Jesus himself said in John chapter 14 verse 9, "If you've seen me, you've seen my Father." Father and Son. You see the Son, you see the Father. As you're experiencing Jesus, you're experiencing God. You see, Jesus came to personalize the Heavenly Father. That's why Isaiah in chapter 7, verse 14, also gives Jesus the name Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. God is now among us. God is now with us. Now, literally, the name that Isaiah gave to Jesus, Everlasting Father, means, literally in the Hebrew, it means a father forever. Or a forever father. Literally, to his children, Jesus personifies a father whose character is immutable. That means he is trustworthy always. Always. God is always trustworthy. We see that in Jesus. We see a father whose commitment is immovable. He is dependable always. We see a father whose care is inexhaustible. He's always got your back. Always. He'll never fail. What a gift. What a gift Jesus, this Father forever, is to you and me. And so in the time that we have together, I want to give you five ways that this gets fleshed out in your life or can get fleshed out in your life. So I want you to write these words down. Five words. Write these down. Protection, provision, punishment, presence, and pride. You see what they teach us in seminary? the final class, they say, now make sure you make all your points start with the same letter, okay? And so it takes a lot of skill to be able to do this. Here are the five P's of fatherhood, of Christ's fatherhood in Christus: protection, provision, punishment, presence, and pride. And when you receive the gift, God's gift of Jesus, this is what you get in your forever father. So let's unpack these. Number one, as a father forever, Jesus gives you protection. As your father forever, he gives you protection. You see, a dad who fails to protect his kids from people, for sure, but from influences that would damage them, is failing as a father. I think we think, well, yeah, we're to protect the household. We're to protect our kids from physical harm, but it's more than that. There's so much negative and destructive influence that's coming into our homes these days, through our culture, through our media, through the television, through music, through all of these different, through the internet, through cyberspace. Dads, it is your role to protect your kids, not just from people who would hurt them, but from influences that would hurt them. Now listen, when we accept Jesus as our Messiah, we enter into a relationship where he becomes our protector. That's what you get. David wrote in Psalm 116, verse 6, "The Lord protects those of childlike faith. I face death," David says, "but he saved me." He's testifying that the Lord always guarded him, even in the storms of life. That's what you get with Jesus. Now, here's a caveat. David was divinely kept, and you will be divinely kept as well, not from, but in and through the storms. It's important to realize that. If you're looking for an escape plan from the storms of life, you're not going to get that. But you have a father who will walk with you, be with you, and bring you through those storms. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 says this: through Jesus, our troubles, our storms, produce endurance. Endurance brings God's approval, and his approval creates hope. And it goes on to tell us that that hope, the hope that we place in Jesus Christ, will never disappoint us. Whatever hope you place in Jesus as your Messiah, that you put in Jesus as your forever Father, it will not end up disappointing you. He is your protector. You may not know this, but the planet Jupiter apparently is Earth's last line or first line of defense against meteorites and comets that could literally destroy our planet. Jupiter is 300 times heavier than the Earth. And so its mass creates a gravitational field like a gigantic cosmic vacuum cleaner. And it literally sweeps, it draws, it sucks space junk into itself and away from us. True story. In the 1990s, the mid-90s, apparently a huge comet broke apart and bombarded Jupiter instead of Earth with more destructive power, scientists tell us, than all of the atom bombs on Earth combined. Explode every atom bomb, and that's more than that was hitting the planet Jupiter. Unknowingly, but aptly, the ancient Romans named the planet Jupiter, which means literally the sky father. They didn't know what they were talking about. But I think as we did the name in the dedication today, God probably guided them to do that as an illustration of what he does for us. Jupiter protects us. It's the sky father. That's the role of a father, to shield his child from danger, even taking the punishment on himself if necessary. Now, isn't that exactly what Jesus did for you and for me? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross." The punishment that was meant for you, he took upon himself. Isaiah 53 says that. He bore the punishment intended for us. And he has promised to protect us in life storms, not keep us from them, but protect us in life storms until the moment that he takes us home to be in his presence forever. He is our protector. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says, "He is protecting you by his power as you await your eternal salvation." Right now, you are being protected in his power. That's what Jesus does for you. He is God's gift, the eternal, the everlasting Father. Number two, as our Father forever, Jesus gives you provision. The ideal dad provides for his family. In fact, Paul talks about this. He says, if a father willingly, out of laziness, out of whatever, does not provide for his own family, he is worse than an unbeliever. Wow, those are pretty strong words. In fact, the old King James language uses the word infidel. He's worse than an infidel. We don't use that word in our culture. It's being used around the world. But that's what the Bible says. If a dad willingly, out of foolishness, out of laziness, does not provide for his own family. If you're a Christian dad and you're not doing that, Paul says you're worse than even an unbeliever. The father's role is to provide. And Scripture teaches us that Jesus will always supply what we need. Notice how Paul connected Jesus to this father-provider role in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. He says, "This God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs from his glorious riches through Christ Jesus." The God who takes care of me, Paul says, will also take care of you out of his abundant supply by virtue of your relationship, your connection to Jesus Christ. I am so glad in these uncertain times of Jesus' certain promise to care for me, to care for us. Listen to these verses. Jesus himself says, "I have come to give you life, and not just barely, but life to the full, life to the max. I have come to give you the abundant life." Jesus himself says, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, Jesus says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." John 14, 18, "I will not leave you out in the cold, abandoned as orphans in the storm." However uncertain your future might be this morning, and some of you walked into this place not knowing what tomorrow would hold, not knowing what 2015 would hold. Circumstances might be making you a little bit shaky about what your future is. However uncertain your future, listen to this, at the core of your Father forever's character, at the core of your Savior's character, is your care. He is focused on your care. He is focused on providing for your needs. That's just his character, which he cannot violate. It's immutable. It's unchanging. It's dependable. So as 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7 says, "Therefore, in light of all of that, cast all of your cares upon him, because he will care for you." He cares for you and he will care for you. That's what your Father forever, Jesus, does. He's your provider. Then number three, as Father forever, Jesus gives you his punishment. He also gives you his punishment. A loving father knows that his kids need not only his hand to protect and to provide, but also at times to punish. Listen to this, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. "Refusal to correct is refusal to love. Love your children by disciplining them." Now, we're not going to talk about the mode or the method of discipline this morning. I think the Bible has plenty to say about that, as well as common sense. So we're not going to describe that for you this morning. But the fact is, much of what we see happening in our culture, in our youth culture, and even in my generation of baby boomers, is a result of the lack of discipline and punishment at times and correction in our lives. We've moved away from that as a culture. We've thrown the baby out with the bathwater. And we're suffering from that. My dad, on the other hand, was quite firm in this principle. That's why I'm so perfect today. He would say to me, "I'm doing this because I love you." I didn't understand that at the time. I felt like saying, although I never did, "You know, I feel pretty loved already. Why don't we just skip your version of the love and just accept mine?" But today, I know that. I know that to be true. I now realize that when he punished, when he corrected me, it was out of his love. And in fact, I would say that he didn't punish me enough, knowing me. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 says, "The Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone that he accepts as his children." Those he accepts as his kids, he corrects, he disciplines, he punishes. In fact, that chapter goes on to say that we ought to endure all hardship, Not just his correction, but any hardship that comes into our lives, we ought to endure it, anything in life, like it was God's discipline, since correction is evidence of fatherly love. So any hardship, any punishment, any correction, anything that's uncomfortable, you say, I'm going to receive this as the Lord's correction because it proves his love for me. If you're never punished, in effect, you're an orphan. If you're never punished. So, I would encourage you, don't blow off God's discipline. Don't blow off God's discipline, but neither get blown away by it, because it means you are his fully loved child. That's what a good father does, a father forever. Number four, as father forever, Jesus gives you his presence. The best present of all is the presence of Jesus in our lives. When we come to Christ, we don't just get rules to live by, and we don't just get results, good results from living by those rules, but best of all, we get a relationship with Jesus himself. We get Jesus himself, we get the gift of his presence, one of the most, if not the most powerful gifts of fatherhood is the gift of presence. I love the story, this true story told of Charles Francis Adams, who was a 19th century diplomat, apparently a very busy one, and he kept a diary, and the diary was found, and on one particular day, he entered this into his journal. He said, "Went fishing today with my son, a day wasted." His son, Brooke, also kept a diary that was found, and on that very same day, he too journaled. He wrote this, "Went fishing with my father today, best day of my life." What the dad saw as a waste of time with his son, the son saw as an investment of time by his father. Earthly dads fall short by prioritizing resources over relationship. When you prioritize your calendar, your activities, your responsibilities, all those things that we have to do, but when you prioritize those over relationship with your child, the most important thing, then we fall short as dads. Jesus never does that. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Notice what it says. The Lord is with you. His presence. He's with you. What does he do when he's with you? He will delight over you. He will quiet you with his love. He will sing over you with joy. That's what this Father forever, Jesus, that's the gift that God gives us in Jesus. His presence. He's with us. He delights over us. He sings over us with joy. So, whether it's protection, provision, punishment, or his presence you need in Jesus, you get the best gift ever. A forever father. But wait, there's more. And I'll close with this one, which I think so many of us in this room, if my heart is sensing rightly, so many of us in this room really, really, really need to hear this. Unlike the other four, this is not something that Jesus gives, but it's something that he takes. Number five, as a forever father, Jesus takes pride in you. You need to hear this. Jesus takes pride in you. It's a father's pride in his kids. It's often the missing piece, the missing ingredient of the blessing that people so desperately seek. Often in very dysfunctional ways. When they missed out on the blessing of the father, there's this lifelong pursuit to find the blessing, even though it's not maybe conscious, but it's a subconscious kind of thing, but people need the blessing of the father. Historically, the blessing was a formal cultural occasion in the life of a kid, a child, where the dad affirmed their unique value and he gave prophetic direction to their future. And because it was a significant spiritual marker, the blessing shaped the rest of that child's life. We don't do that much anymore in our culture. That's why we do these baby dedications, because we believe as a church family, we are speaking the blessing, the prophetic blessing into the life of the child. That's what we did today with Addison. In truth, every human being needs the blessing of the Father. And those who miss out on it, even as adults, still long for the approval and the prophetic guidance of their dad. And fathers give it, not only formally, in the ceremony, the ceremonial blessing, and I think if you're a dad here today, a grandfather even, you could step in and do this. You ought to think of ways to formally do this with your child if you don't have a tradition of doing that. But not only do we do it formally, but dads do it consistently and organically in offering the things that we've talked about. Protection, provision, yes, punishment, and personal presence. And by taking pride in their child. I am so grateful, personally, I'm so grateful that I got the blessing from my dad. As I thought about that this week, as I was writing this message and thinking about my own father, I remembered how, among other things that my dad did really well, I remember how he was at every single football game I ever played. Every game, no matter where it was, in middle school and in high school. And I'll never forget my very first game and my very last game, because in my memory of those, my dad featured prominently in both. In my first game, I was in sixth grade, by the way, full contact football, dressed in little uniforms. On the opening kickoff, we kicked off. My dad was literally in the middle of the field, from the stands, literally in the middle of the field. And I could hear him as I'm running down the field to tackle the player that's going to catch the ball. I heard my dad. And he was screaming, "Get the ball, Ray. Get it. Go get the ball, Ray." And I was about to turn around and just give him that stare of, "You're embarrassing me, Dad." When I turned around and I noticed that the ref was ordering my dad back into the stands. "Mr. Noah, you cannot do that." That's my very first game. He was so proud of me. And he was there at my final game. Never forget this. My final game, not because the season had ended, but because in that game I broke my neck. I literally broke my neck. My dad was there. And I was knocked unconscious in a head-to-head collision. I played a defensive back on defense, and I went head-on into a big brute running an in sweep, and we hit helmet to helmet, and my neck broke, and I lost consciousness. And I woke up to smelling salts, flat on my back, looking up into the sky through my face mask, and I saw a circle of faces, adults, around me. There were the coaches, the referees, there was the trainer, and the last face I saw was my dad. And I thought, well, he hasn't been out of the stands since that first game. So this must be really, really bad. There was Dad. He was engaged. He was involved. He was there. And he was so proud of me. One thing I never doubted was his pride over me. He was proud of me. He still is. He's well into his 80s. My dad was a pastor all of my growing up years. And now he, you know, for years now, he's not been able to do that because of his physical condition. And whenever I call my dad, which is every day now, I call him, we talk about his life, his finances, all the stuff that's going on. And he has a little flip phone, and it's got caller ID. And when I call, this is what he always says. "Hello, Pastor Noah. I don't doubt his pride over me." Some of you didn't have a proud papa. For whatever reason. You missed out on that. The pride of a father. And because of what I know now as a spiritual leader, and having come through a proud father, I wish I could have been there for you. I wish I could have been your proud dad, because I would have busted my buttons over you. But I can't do that for you. But even better, you need to know this. This is what you need to hear. Maybe the most important thing that I'll say today, that you'll take into Christmas week and into this next year, into the rest of your life, you need to know that Jesus, your forever Father, is proud of you. No matter who you are, if you are in Him, He takes pride over you. Listen to that verse in Zephaniah 3:17 again, this time paraphrased. Your mighty Savior, your forever Father, has arrived to be with you. He will rejoice over you with great gladness. With His love, He will calm your fears. He will delight over you by singing a happy song. What a gift. What a gift. In Jesus, you have a forever Father.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.